This is a show in season 5. If I could
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say,
touche.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah, that's right. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's community. I'm a sexy cat. I'm a sexy podcast host. Oh, yeah. It's season 5, episode 2, Introduction to Teaching. I'm Nicolas Cage. I'm joined here by Jess Sterling. Jess, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. Close?
I don't even know.
Cold, warm.
It's like 10 out of 10. No, 12 out of 10.
Hi, Jess. It's me. It's Josh. Nicolas Cage couldn't join us today, but what a delight to have the spirit of Nicolas Cage coursing through the veins of community this week.
Yeah. This was a long anticipated episode for you to watch, obviously, because of the Abed storyline. Yes. Very, very obviously.
And of course, I have seen Abed's gif of Nicolas Cage noises in the past. I have seen this, but I had completely forgotten about it.
Good.
Like, I'd forgotten about it. Even while watching the episode, I had forgotten about it.
Until you saw it and you're like,
I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I'm a sexy cat.
Yeah, so that was really fun. That was great. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled to see that. Another thing that I had known but had forgotten was, yeah, Mike Ehrmantraut's coming to community.
Buzz Hickey.
Coming to Greendale. 15 years as a criminology professor. I want to know what his experience with the Chang dynasty was like. I do hope we find out. But yeah, great to see Jonathan Banks signing up for community. Another thing where, like, I've talked about this before. Like, I was like in the prime, let's say, of my entertainment journalism career as community is an active situation. And I feel like I wrote a story somewhere about the casting of Jonathan Banks on community.
Oh.
But much like all of the other things that I wrote during that era, I basically have completely forgotten all of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember that until he showed up here. And I was like, great. Amazing. We got Jonathan Banks. Yeah. And then we're getting copious amounts of Cage in this episode as well. And then we get the probably best post-credit scene that I have seen. It's certainly high up there.
It's very good.
How is this going to be anything but a full four for me? I think it's pretty clear that I was going to love this one.
I was pretty sure you were going to give it a full four, like, no matter what. This is the beginning
of
an
Dan era. Harmon is writing this one with your favorite mind, Andy Bibrow.
We love
Andy Bibrow. Jay Chandraskar is the director who has directed so many episodes of Community, but is also closest to my heart as his association with Broken Lizard, Thorny, Ramathorn from Super Troopers. So him directing this one specifically, I'm going to be thrilled about. It's like the stars aligning that this was going to be an episode of the show that would be mine. I will cherish this episode for the rest of time. It is the second season 5 community episode, end of sentence, but it is the second season 5 episode of Community, Jess, that I have watched twice now. So season 5. Off to a very strong start.
Yeah. And let me tell you, it only goes up from here. Like, this is the beginning of an era. Mm-hmm. Because I think we both talked about, like, how the last episode is a bit of, like, you need a transition, right? From season 4 to season 5. You can't just, like, full season 5 right away.
No.
You gotta, like, dip your toes in the water.
The
you
toes
know?
Have to be dipped.
Yeah.
It is important, if not crucial, to dip the toes.
Exactly.
One little piggy at a time.
Really?
That's hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
I don't know anyone who could do that.
Especially if you had the second toe that's a little longer than the first toe.
Like,
really,
yeah.
How are you doing that?
Really, almost in any situation, that's going to be close to impossible. But
unless if you have the regular, like, ramp of toes, like most people, you maybe start small to big.
Maybe. I don't know. I think, like, it's not going to be particularly elegant. Let's
no,
put it that way.
No, definitely not.
It's going to be, much like the pig itself as an animal. It's going to be a dirty process, but you got to try. And I appreciate that we are on ramping to whatever it is we are on ramping right now. Obviously, setting things up with like the student teacher committee feels like a very big thing here on table mark two. I don't know where we are going, but one of like the great things that a show can do is even make the ramp up process highly enjoyable. And so the ramp up process so far, highly enjoyable, having a great time. Very, very fun.
Yeah, I think this episode really does like kick things off for what's to come. Yes. Probably one of the best runs of Community episodes. So I'm really excited to dive into
it. I am as well. Of course, we are live for the patrons of post-show recaps. You get to watch us record episodes of Community Building live as we do them. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. For those of you who are patrons of Post Show Recaps watching live or watching the video version after the fact, which of course you can do, you will see that I am wearing Nicolas Cage's jacket from the hit film Next, in which he plays Chris Johnson, a magician who can see 2 minutes into the future and acts accordingly. And Next is sort of the totemic film of the Post Show Recaps patron society. Let's call it a society. We live in a society. Mm-hmm. I am to understand that there were many Next references
last week
on the podcast.
So anxious because... two different times, shout out to the wonderful feedback giver, the Ass Crack Bandit, who always sends in feedback, capitalized the N in Next. April in the chat had put in, like, I'm so excited for next week, and Next was capitalized. I was very nervy that you were going to catch on, and you were going to know what was happening.
I didn't see it. I didn't see anything. I was too busy podcasting. Not that I don't just like, you know, mess around while podcasting sometimes. It's been known to happen.
Mm-hmm. You've chanced a time or two.
I've chanced a time or two. Like, I've tried to like curb my Wario Casino habit a little bit here, but I've gotten really into that phone game 2048. You ever play that one?
I have not.
Oh gosh. Wow. I'm like incredibly late to this game.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I,
but I'm doing a lot of Candy Crush in these days.
Good for you. That's nice to know. I'm doing that IRL, not in my games.
Crushing some candy.
Yeah, I actually am. There's a couple of little lollipop things that I've got right now. They're next level. Haha. Next. But no, I'm not playing any phone games. I was just focusing on the podcast and I totally missed all of the
good
next level activity. So kudos to everybody who was able to sneak one by old Wiggler. I pride myself on people not being able to get a bit past me. Y'all got a bit past me. You bit. So people were excited for us to talk this one through, huh?
Very.
Yeah.
Like ecstatic to the point where people were like, I'm shocked you didn't show this to Josh.
How many? Because it. For those who are not patrons of Post Show Recaps, you perhaps do not know that when you use Discord in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, you've got the ability to spoiler text your comments. And often in the community channel that we have, these spoilered out comments that you have to click in order to see are prefaced with two words, no Josh. And that means I am not to click the clicky thing. So I have in recent times, certainly, I've really abided by the rules. I'm trying not to look. How many no Josh Nicolas Cage community comments have there been over the past? How long have we been doing this?
A lot.
2 years?
A lot. Like, that's like the majority of what I think people didn't want. There are a few things that people don't want you to find out. But that is a big one. Because, and again, just to reiterate, like when we were doing the patron only podcast, that was, I think, maybe before Next was a thing for us.
It was.
It really wasn't on my radar to have you watch the episode that has the Nicolas Cage bit in it. Up until after Next, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, people were very, very excited for you to get to this episode, not just because of the Nicolas Cage of it all, but because it's like actually a really, really good episode.
We were so close to recording this one on what we have dubbed Next Day, but certainly is more importantly Nicolas Cage's actual birthday. January 11th, 2023 is when we recorded with Corey B live the season 5 premiere. 1 week off. But 2 minutes into the future, everyone saw that we would be doing this at least a week later. So very, very exciting times. And then for people thinking like he doesn't know Mike Ehrmantraut's coming up, he's going to be excited about that too.
People were definitely excited for you to meet Buzz Hickey. I don't know if anybody was under the assumption that you didn't know he was ever on the show. I feel like that's kind of like a big casting.
Yeah,
like
that'd be
that
hard
is
to
kind
miss.
Of
That'd be hard
obvious. So,
a question for you, if you're able to. So this is a big episode, because not just because of the Nicolas Cage component, but also because it's introducing Buzz Hickey. And I understand that he is around for a bit. He's not a series regular.
He is
right?
not Jonathan technically Banks? A series regular. I did look it up because I was also
he's
curious.
Not in the opening. He's not in the main titles. He's not he's on the. Not,
no, he is not technically a series regular at this point now.
So he's a Dean's Lister. He is a Dean's List eligible. Can you set up for me as best as you can, as much as you feel like you're allowed to, as you're permitted to, like, this is more than just a gag, right? Jonathan Banks.
He's
is like,
in the show.
He's like a character.
He's a recurring character.
Okay.
Well, you could, I mean, this is like not even something that is really spoiler anyway, because he's on the Save Greendale committee.
Yeah.
So like you can assume he's going to be hanging around. He's literally sitting in Pierce's chair.
Can you like tease his involvement in the show at all? Like, is he just a joke character?
No,
is he an
no.
emotional character? Like, am I going to feel for Buzz Hickey? Am I going to care?
I feel like the extent to which you're going to care is probably made mostly evident in this episode, right? Mm. Especially like the end tag is like very whatever. I think he's mostly like, right, he's a colleague to Jeff. So Jeff and him are going to have, you know, some like moments like that together. I do think there's one episode in particular I could see you like really, really loving what he does. I can see him being a very, very big receiver of the Dean's List points.
Does it feel like is this a lock, do you think, that he's going to be our Dean's List champion?
I think it'll be very difficult for other people to beat him.
Yeah.
Just because he's like the Dean was, where he's not technically a series regular,
yeah,
but he's around a lot.
And he usually hits. He doesn't miss very often.
And he's very funny. I mean, right? Like, he's very, he has a type, right? He's very Mike Ehrmantraut. Like, his character is gruff. He's a little rough around the edges. But I really like Buzz. I think he's a very fun addition to the show. Yeah. I think it's fun because we still get the like old man energy that Pierce brought, but not in like a racist, sexist way.
Was he hired specifically to sort of fill the void of Chevy Chase? Do we know?
I mean, obviously at the point that he was hired, like
Breaking Bad has wrapped at this point. It's January 2nd, 2014 when this episode airs initially. Breaking Bad is done by a good margin at this point. And he's gearing up, I think, at this point to go to Better Call Saul. So is this like his gig in between gigs, maybe?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No spoilers for Breaking Bad.
I think one of my favorite character traits.
He had some time off
from Buzz. That you've already seen. It's the whole thing of he likes to draw cartoon ducks, but he can't draw bills.
Yeah, the bills are bad. That's one of the two things he's bad at, which is great.
Yep.
So I look forward to learning more about him. I'm going to go ahead and interpret Buzz Hickey as a literal Mike Ehrmantraut alias.
He's very, very similar to that character. Yeah.
Mike in Better Call Saul, especially, you see him like do like these sort of like on the spot undercover gigs every once in a while. I'm just going to assume that Gus Spring needs something from Greendale, is maybe contemplating whether or not to install a Pollos Hermanos location at the Greendale cafeteria.
Where the Subway was.
A la Shirley Sandwiches or the Subway. Yeah, and that this has been a long installation of Mike Ehrmantraut to suss it out. So
he does have a few where we explore his character more episodes,
cool.
like that I can think of. So I think you're really going to love him. I certainly think he's a welcome addition. I know there are people who are like, oh, I like the OG community group. And I do too, of course. But I think Buzz is so fun to have because if Jeff was the only teacher in the group, I think it would be a little, I don't know. I think you kind of need another teacher in there to balance the group out.
Yeah, I think so. I think that even without having seen where the show goes from here, you know, I definitely feel like that makes a lot of sense to me. And certainly, all good TV shows have to evolve. Do they not? Do they not have to evolve
sometimes.
And adapt to casting changes and time going on? I believe, to quote a frenemy of Mike Ehrmantraut, it's the cycle. It's solution, dissolution, just over and over. It is growth, then decay, then transformation. Is that not what a good TV show is all about, Jess Sterling.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just need a little breath of fresh air in a new season of a show.
Indeed you do. All right, well, let's recap this one, Jess. It is Introduction to Teaching, which, like, the Nicolas Cage and Mike Ehrmantraut headlines aside, I thought was just a terrific episode. Really great. Yeah.
Titles could be more memorable.
Sure.
But that's fine.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of the thing with Community most of the time.
I think that's right,
yeah. So, yeah, we start off in Jeff's class. He's teaching fundamentals of law. He says, I don't answer questions and I don't use names until he gets to the first, like, black kid. And then he's like, okay, let's do names.
Yeah, he's just describing all, like, he's using nicknames to describe the kids. And, like, I think he, like, gut checks his inner Chevy Chase, decides maybe let's do names.
Yeah. Are we human beings or just question and answer machines? And one of the students says, we're students and you're a teacher.
Yeah, this first sequence is really funny to me of, like, Jeff learning the ropes of being a teacher as opposed to being a Greendale student, where he can't ogle people in the hallway.
No!
He goes in the hallway.
It's creepy. Did you see it? The professor, he was just leering at me.
Yeah. Then he gets up to Leonard, who, what is happening with Leonard
he
and
has
the earring?
An earring.
Is this going to stick around?
I think it's mostly just for this episode, but I love it.
It's like, it's somewhere between brilliant and tragic.
But it's
earring.
So funny.
I thought that Leonard was really adorable in this episode. Like,
if not
there were
for
few...
Buzz Hickey, like, he would have easily gotten my Dean's List point.
I do think that they're like, there are a few candidates in this episode.
It's tough.
Like, this is tough. Like, it is like Buzz Hickey kind of just shows up, and what are you going to do? You have to give him the Dean's List point.
It's just like I don't get to why I did it. I mean, spoiler, I give it to Buzz. But, like, I do think, like, this moment with Leonard is so funny, where Jeff says he looks like the road manager for the California Raisins.
It's brutal.
It's such, like, again, this is an insult you get when Dan Harmon is writing Community.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. But people don't like that he's, like, treating students that way. There's like this one student,
you're not one of us anymore.
Yeah, you can't do that. So Jeff's having a hard time fitting in until he winds up at his new office, where he's gonna meet his new buddy for the rest of the episode. Though it's not immediately clear that they're gonna be friends, because Buzz Hickey takes the piss out of Jeff when he introduces himself as a criminology professor. And Jeff's like, I'm teaching law. It's just a temporary gig. And Hickey says, oh, it's a temporary gig for me, too. For 15 years.
Yeah. So he's been working there for a long while. And I think you can sense that immediately, because he does operate with this jaded sense of being a teacher. Like, the very, like, it's us against the students kind of mentality. So we're in the study hall and the new table is on display.
Mark II, very Iron Man.
And one of the funniest bits is Ovid saying, table, power down. Troy saying, wait, I have a cup,
I have
on,
a cup
there.
On there. Yeah. It's important because you don't want anything bad to happen to your cup.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to finding out future, additions to the table Mark II. Like, what can table Mark II do?
We'll see.
Okay. Is the unifying power of friendship? Maybe.
It's definitely less stable than the two other tables before it, because it doesn't have a central bar.
We've covered. Yes.
Annie starts everybody's razzing Jeff about being a teacher. Annie, turns out, has Hickey for criminology. And Abed wants to sign up for a two-day course. Nicolas Cage, good or bad?
Nicolas Cage, good or bad, is a dream course for me. And I love that this is the lens with which we are looking at Nicolas Cage in this episode. Deeply relatable. I have not gotten into it, I don't think, on the Community Building podcast, but I've certainly talked in the past on a different podcast or elsewhere about how my journey with Nicolas Cage was very similar. For many years, I thought he was bad. And then I realized that he's also good and sometimes bad. And as a result, is transcendent, is godlike in his own way, as Abed will discover with Shirley. So it's a very fun way. I mean, I think, like, it's easy to look at it as like, oh, well, everyone's always obsessed with Nicolas Cage and some version of this is always going to happen. Like, when we're talking about Nicolas Cage, is he just like a meme or is he an actor? I think it is fair to ask, why not both?
Yeah, except you can be both. And I love that Shirley is the one that is going to teach that lesson to Abed later.
Yes.
Jeff wants to take this as a blow-off class, and Annie reminds him that he's a teacher and he doesn't have time for blow-off classes. He needs to come up with a curriculum.
Yes.
The dean comes in. He gives Jeff an apple, puts glasses on him, gives him the graduation cap.
The glasses sent me.
It was the pipe for me.
I think Joel McHale's physical comedy in this scene alone is one of my favorite Joel McHale performances across the whole show. Staring forward, dead inside.
He wants to die.
It's like he already did. It's like this is like Dean is putting all of this on a body, is what it feels like.
And then we get our first little mention of Dean attempting to learn Excel, which is going to come into play many a time in this episode. Good.
Great, yes.
In the Nicolas Cage class, of course, the teacher is Professor Sean Garrity, known as Professorson.
Great to see Professorson again, especially if we're going to be getting into some Nicolas Cage turf. I feel like he is the guy to guide us through it. Another potential Dean's List candidate in an alternate universe.
Yeah. And so Abed, of course, asks, well, do you know the answer? Is he good or bad? And he says, the question has no answer. The homework is 5 Nicolas Cage movies by Wednesday. No marathons. Space out your viewings.
I believe he says to Abed, be careful.
Yeah, be very careful, because he says, oh, just 5?
Yeah, and he knows at this point, I think he talks about it here, right, about how Abed busted Who's the Boss.
Yeah, and he's like, Angela! It was Angela!
Good and relevant callback. I thought that was fun. That was great. Mm-hmm.
So in the cafeteria, Jeff is complaining because he doesn't know how to make a curriculum, and Hickey is trying to show him the ropes of being professor. He says there are perks. He cuts everyone in the food line. He's like, listen, we can actually eat this crappy food hot.
Yeah.
Leonard, of course, says, Winger, what are you doing? This line is for food, not for Lionel Richie tickets. This is my house.
This is my house. And then Hickey is brutal to Leonard.
This is all I have.
It's all I have.
The meatballs.
He takes the meatball
those
right off his
large
plate.
Large meatballs.
The food in this episode, the spaghetti and meatballs and the bread look awful. It looks awful to me.
See, I've never had a hankering for meatballs more. Not because it looks good, just because I wanted meatballs.
I think it looks like actual trash. This reminds me of, like, you know, I have like some nostalgic memories of like my college cafeteria or my high school cafeteria or like whatever. And like looking at this defies that nostalgia. This is whatever the opposite of that is. PTSD.
Is it the size of the meatballs?
They're humongous.
There's not enough sauce.
They're humongous. They are gray in a way that looks moldy like a clown. And they look dry AF.
They're putting 2 honking baseball-sized meatballs on a pile of dry spaghetti. Like, where is the sauce?
It's trash.
Where is the parmesan?
It looks like trash. And so by the end of the episode, when Jeff is like, we've been eating the same meal all week and nobody noticed it, I was like, excuse me.
I noticed it
because every time it was on screen, I wanted to hurl.
Were you like, why do they keep eating meatballs?
I figured it had to be a bit of some kind, whether it was like an Easter egg for like there was something behind the scenes that I didn't know about, was Meatball gonna be to season 5 what Daybreak was to season 3?
It was gonna be a Beetlejuice number all over again.
Yeah, that was sort of my thought. Yeah,
it's one of those things where I noticed the meatballs, but it doesn't dig in my head that like, wow, they're eating meatballs a lot every time I see this episode until the very end.
Gross.
But yeah, so Hickey takes Leonard's meatballs and makes him leave. They enter the teacher's lounge where it's like a speakeasy. People are smoking, people are drinking, and they all laugh at Jeff trying to make a syllabus. They say, here's what you need to know. Break into groups, grade each other's papers, and please enjoy the 7-disc edition of Planet Earth.
Chang's winning me back, by the way. It's happening.
I mean, listen, Chang is not bad in this episode.
He's great in this episode. Chang's just like they're just accepting Chang as part of the faculty again, as if the Chang dynasty never happened, as if the Kevin thing wasn't real. I'm just going to follow suit with the rest of the teachers, and I'm going to do my best to bury all of that as well. Although, I did love the Chang dynasty, but I'm going to try and bury the Kevin betrayal that I felt. And just get back on board, because this is a funny scene where he's like in the faculty room, but of course coming up like 5 minutes from now, not even, is a really, really great moment.
Yeah. I like that they're setting the world up to explain how Chang got away with being not only a Spanish professor, but now also a math professor. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that they're explaining how exactly that happened with, like, okay, now that you see this teacher's lounge, you're kind of like, okay, I get it. And so Dean comes in to like drop off the paychecks, but he's not allowed in the student lounge or the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
And he talks about he's learning Excel. Jeffrey, don't wait. We have to get together to talk about Excel.
Yeah.
So he leaves.
Waiting to Excel. So Dean is turned away. Meanwhile, we go to the apartment with Troy and Abed and Annie, and they're watching Nicolas Cage movies. And I couldn't tell if this was an actual Nicolas Cage movie or if it was just like the audio of what Abed's going to do
it
later in the
episode. It sounds kind of like the audio.
It is. It sounds exactly like that.
Yeah. Because he's like, so, and I wrote down a lot of these quotes because they cracked me up so much. Nicolas Cage is so weird. He seems scared to smell that flower, but happy to get shot.
Like, that feels like Face Off to me, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah. So how many of these movies have you seen? So he'll give you The Rock.
Yes, I've seen.
Con Air.
I've seen.
Then Face Off.
Yes.
And you think you understand, but then Wind Talkers.
No.
Guarding Tess.
No.
The Wicker Man.
Most of, but not all.
Okay.
All like the meme-y stuff from The Wicker Man. But I don't think I've ever like sat down to watch it front to back. But I think over time I've seen all of The Wicker Man.
Okay.
Like in like a Frankensteinian way. But I've never seen Wind Talkers and I've never seen Guarding Tess. There are a lot of other bad movies that they could have called, not the least of which is Captain Corelli's Mandolin. Have you ever seen that one?
Of course not.
He tries to do like a Greek accent in it. It's awful. It's I think he's like, no, I think he's Italian in Greece, I think, in Captain Corelli. And it is horrific. The accent is so, so, so bad. Kind to the point that it's kind of genius.
Yeah.
It's committed, at least. He's so committed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he begs you to stop watching, but you can't. Is he good or is he bad? Every actor is something. Robert Downey Jr., good. Jim Belushi, bad. Van Damme. The good kind of bad. Johnny Depp, the bad kind of good.
Everything that was said was not a lie.
Exactly.
Truth. Yeah.
There's a spectrum. Cage is on it. I just have to find him. Again, this is so funny because they pack in, this is Community, where they pack in the pop culture jokes and they're so ridiculously accurate. It's so funny.
Yeah. What's great about Nicolas Cage is he's on his own spectrum. Nicolas Cage
himself is
a spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Annie's like, I'm going to go call Jeff and see how he's doing. He's drinking with all the professors and they're working on their syllabuses.
Their syllabi.
Yeah. And Annie's like, it's syllabi.
She's getting really suspicious of Jeff as a teacher, not taking his job seriously. So much so that when we go to his classroom in the next scene, Annie has enrolled in the class and it leads to the terrific line from Chang of, oh, she's in your class, yo. Great
yeah,
moment.
Oh, she's in your class, yo.
Very good. Loved that. This is like borderline narc behavior from Annie, and I do not care for it. I think Annie enrolling into class to check in on Jeff and make sure he's doing his job, I'm not here for that. I don't like it. I think that's bad.
Yeah.
Just let him do it. Why do you have to babysit Jeff?
I mean, I think she doesn't want him to. Here's the thing. Okay. If I'm going to try to defend Annie.
Do your best, Jess, because I thought that this was, dare I say, abhorrent friend behavior. Yeah.
In my opinion, what Annie is trying to do is I feel like she knows Jeff would be a good teacher, right? He gives his classic winger speeches all the time. She wants him to excel at something that he would be good at. And he's not like fulfilling his potential.
Uh-huh.
And so she's in her own misguided way trying to help him succeed at this job. Now she does it in a very Annie way, which isn't great. One thing I will say though, have you noticed a shift in the Annie outfit? In the Annie outfit department?
Not particularly. Should I be noticing it?
Back in the day, in seasons 1 and 2, she was all about the dresses and the skirts and the cardigans and like the ballet flats with the tights. Like always. That's all she wore. Always.
Yeah.
now and moving forward, you're going to notice a lot more like dress pants and button down shirts.
She's
like
a it's professional a much more now?
Very, very like female FBI agent is okay. how it reads to me. And could be because she's in trying to get a degree in forensics.
Yeah.
But they do change her outfits. And I think it's interesting to notice because it feels like they're trying to also like be like, no, this is the new mature
right.
Annie.
Right, also. Right. And I really appreciate you highlighting all of that as a way to deflect from the fact that Annie is acting like trash towards Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
By enrolling in his class. So I thought that was a really strong effort, and I will Thank be you. Sure to pay attention to the wardrobe moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do love how she keeps him after class. Yeah. What I saw today was embarrassing. You were late. You clearly had no idea. And yeah. he's like looking away. She's like, hey.
Yeah, over here.
Yeah. You didn't even know what tort referral meant. And when I asked you to explain the Sixth Amendment, you pled the Fifth.
Yeah, he did. Well, that seems like he did law correctly there.
But she gives him so many books to read and is going to quiz him tomorrow.
I don't like it.
And he's like, I wish Troy was in my class.
Work on the forensic stuff. You don't need to do this to Jeff. I guess it's like kind of an undercover assignment, but she also like blew her cover. So I don't know. I think there was
She's
a better
not,
way to
go. Subtle. That
I suppose that's true. I suppose that's true. Yeah. So afterwards, Hickey's gonna tell Jeff that Annie needs to be taken out.
This is a very Mike Ehrmantraut thing to say.
Of the class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to qualify there.
Yes. He says minus her, and he's like, what? Give her A minuses. Mm-hmm. Teachers don't have to explain minuses. Why do you think we invented them? This is brilliant. Yeah, but terrible.
It is horrible.
I would be pissed.
Yeah, I was going to ask, but then I was like, I don't think it's worth asking Jess how she would feel about
I would
this.
Be the Annie. I would lead a riot.
Yeah.
There would be a revolution.
Yeah, an A- feels passive aggressive.
It's so mean.
It's almost would rather get a B+.
Yeah, like so most of my schooling, we didn't use letter grades. It was mostly out of 100 was how we were graded. Anytime I got an 89, I was extra peeved because it's so much worse than a 90, yeah. and I will not be convinced otherwise.
Sure, that makes sense, I guess. It's just a single point difference, but
still matters.
I understand. It gets you, keeps you out of the 90s, and we know you're all about that. The,
all
the
about
shit that the
90s
teaches you for sure.
Yeah.
So they're still eating meatballs.
You like the Leonard meatballs?
No.
They added something special. It's Leonard.
Yeah, they ground him up.
His earring is in there.
Yeah, they put his ear in there. And then Leonard's like, can I have my earring back?
Yeah.
Poor sweet Leonard.
So nasty, too.
It's really gross.
You ruined a meatball with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In his earlobe.
And folks, if you forgot, just remember Leonard's words of wisdom at the end of our community building theme song here for season 5. Unsubscribe, which means it's a very British way of saying and subscribe to the community building podcast feed if you have not done so already. Mm-hmm. So when we go back to the apartment, Abed has lost it.
There are sticky notes and strings everywhere. He looks like a serial killer or
yes.
someone who is trying to find a serial killer.
Correct. And which I guess is sort of Nicolas Cage as well. Yeah. Sometimes he's serial killer. Sometimes he's cop trying to find serial killer.
Yeah. Sometimes he's a renegade. Is that what they call the people that are like...
In Face Off, he's literally both, right?
What's you know? One where you're like, oh, a vigilante?
Yeah. That's yeah. the one. Yeah.
So stuff. He says he has a working theory, and don't react until you've heard the whole thing. Mm-hmm. If you watch closely at the 7-minute mark in Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
Have you seen Snake Eyes?
I actually haven't seen Snake Eyes, and that one I feel like I will either love or hate. So I got Snake Eyes out there waiting for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's this line about you'll notice the moment where an alien arm could have... Like, is Abed pitching that Nicolas Cage is possessed by an alien?
Could be.
Yeah. I don't think aliens are in Snake Eyes.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Snake Eyes is grounded in reality, and if it's not, then I don't know a huge spoiler about Snake Eyes. Let's keep it that way. I'm not sure, but I think pretty sure it's about like Nicolas Cage is trying to figure out an assassination that was like an inside job at like
okay.
a fighting game. I think is it a boxing match or like a UFC thing? I don't know. I think that's close
mm-hmm.
enough. But yeah, he's still obsessed with some crazy actors are good, some are bad, but none of them are neither, and there's no such thing as both. So which one is Nicolas Cage? Huh? 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 Oh? Huh? Oh? He stops because he's having the freak out, but it's
he realizes what's happening.
Yeah. He's being taken over. He's being possessed by the spirit of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Back in Jeff's classroom, he wins an argument against Annie. She gets upset and she leaves, and Garrett is in Jeff's class and says he can't believe that Jeff won an argument with Annie.
Yeah.
You don't argue with Annie, Garrett. You let her argue with herself until she loses. Anyone that tries to argue has already lost because they've picked an argument to lose. And so
yeah, this is why, like, I didn't pursue the negotiations on the puppet scores even further, because you kind of just decided to lose by refusing to budge off of your zero, Jess, which
I did not lose because I stood by the truth.
No, which prevented the puppets episode from being the bottom ranked episode, because I would have pushed my four down to probably like a 1.5. And you refused to do that. So rather than argue it further, I just allowed the result to stand. And
the thing is I sleep so soundly at night knowing I gave it its rightful score of zero.
And I sleep very soundly at night knowing I did what I had to do to make sure it wasn't the worst episode of season four. Sounds like we're both getting great nights of sleep.
We really are. So Jeff actually is very good at teaching. So he starts talking about the truth and
he likes
around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tells Annie he likes teaching, and she's
like, look what Hickey gave me. And it's like a rat with a knife on it on the poster board. He's like, he did that? And she's like, no, that's my witness intimidation project. That was a great, great, great community gag. That was very funny.
And she got an A-, and she says, I have to drop your class, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So she's done. Yeah, maybe she should have focused up instead of minding Jeff's beeswax. She should have minded her own, Jess, and she wouldn't have gotten the minus.
Yeah, well, she's trying to help. She's trying to help.
Yeah, in a really intrusive way, but.
Yeah. Back in the Nicolas Cage class, Trey says, I think he's a genius. I mean, he keeps getting hired for some reason, and it's not because of his hair.
It might be because of his hair. Nicolas Cage's hair is like a living organism in its own right. I think it's not impossible that, like, the alien arm Ahmed saw, like, is the hair. It's like his venom symbiote.
His hair in Next, though, is so horrific.
Next
bad.
Level. Yeah, and that's from his time where he had that hair across a couple of movies, Knowing, Bangkok Dangerous. He had like this moment where it was
so
like,
bad.
It was like sort of Nicolas Cage meets Lord Farquaad.
It's so so Shirley says, I don't know, if I was in 70 films over 30 years and I spent each one talking at random volumes, I might accidentally win an Oscar.
Yeah, just by sheer volume of movies too, I think it was inevitable that Nick Cage would win an Oscar, and like relatively early in his run, actually.
Shirley's roast of Nick Cage is the best thing ever.
Shirley is stealthily excellent in this episode.
She's really good.
Yes.
Britta says, I think our opinions about pop culture are fed to us by machines designed to criminalize human anatomy.
Yeah, and they're like, enough Britta. Yeah.
But Abed walks in with a binder, and the professor immediately is like, give him space.
Give him room. It's like almost like Professorson like recognizes in Abed that like he's like maybe like medically unhealthy right now. So it's like, give him some space. Everybody be on guard in case something happens. And so Abed tries to rise to the challenge. It's not unsolvable because all actors have distinct values, which I use to find answers. And like, how much Nicolas Cage? Enough! I watch enough to find the answers. And then he really gets into it. He says his being doesn't allow for Nicolas freaking Cage, okay? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat. Oh, yeah. Oh. That's very good. Great moment.
How good is Danny Pudi at being Nicolas Cage?
5 stars.
So good.
5 meow meow beans, to be precise.
Yeah.
Very good.
Did you notice the thing on the chalkboard that says always be caging?
Always ABC. Mind your ABCs.
Always be caging.
Always be caging. These are the rules. So this was terrific, and I am thrilled to have experienced it. And I'm thrilled to have experienced it twice.
That's the thing. Like, even episode. If you've seen the gif of, like, Nicolas Cage's noises, like, you can't – it's still – it's still so good to hear it.
It was, yeah.
It was, oh, yeah.
It was very excellent, and I was deeply pleased.
Like, I think my favorite of my the entire core. Thing is I'm a sexy cat.
I'm a sexy cat. I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat.
Does he play a sexy cat in something?
I, you know, missed opportunity and may have saved the musical adaptation of Cats. It's possible that if they had cast him as Mr. Mistopheles, the whole narrative would be changed. Because Idris Elba was like clearly unhappy.
Idris Elba? Like, I don't want to be here. Okay.
Yeah, he's Mr. Mistopheles.
Why would he do that?
Money.
He's so much better than that, Cash. Though. Have you seen him? Doesn't he have commercials now? I saw him in a commercial.
I don't know.
And I'm so not used to him having a British accent, because that's actually his accent.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my God. Like,
you should check out Luther, Jess. Scary stuff, movie? But if you really love Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. It's just, oh my God, it's a show?
What, Luther?
Yeah.
Luther is like the thing that he's like, this is his thing. Luther is sort of his
British psychological crime thriller.
Yeah, don't look too deep into it. No, Luther. Was really, really terrific and then kind of went off the rails. But
the thing is about Idris Elba is like, you think he's sexy just in general, and then you hear him talk in a British accent and it just like ups the level.
He's a fairly impressive individual. Like, he even ruined the Dark Tower, and I'm not mad at him about
it. You can't be. Yeah. Look at his face.
Yeah, he's incredible. Yeah. Anyway, well, we're supposed to be talking about Nicolas Cage.
just got trapped in Idris Elba.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
In Jeff's office.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. The Nicolas Cage moment is absolutely elite. Very good.
So Jeff asked Hickey why he gave Annie a minus. And
he's drawing his cartoon duck?
Yeah. Yep. And he's just like, you minus the best student in class. And he says, I'm a monster. I was in the storm drain lair of the Black River Ripper.
Uh-huh.
I have seen human heads used for things other than heads. You best not be calling me a monster.
Yeah, I don't want to know what he has seen. I don't know what they were
used
for.
Very Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah. And, a great, maybe almost like a Better Call Saul Priester egg. Because, and I believe it is the third scene of Better Call Saul, we find out about Jimmy McGill defending some clients who also used a human head for things other than a human head.
Yeah.
So, Jeff is like, I was handling it. Don't interfere with my stuff. And he like besmirches his honor as a cartoonist and he leaves. And and Hickey says, the duck's name is Jim, and publishers are interested. Great stuff.
It's like one of my favorite character beats about Hickey. Like, cause you can't just make him like a gruff guy. You got to make him like, where's the heart of gold? Where's the little squish?
Yeah.
And the squish is the duck named Jim.
Yeah, Jim the duck with the bad bill. That's a little more like a beak.
Yeah.
So Jeff's gonna tell Annie that minuses at Greendale are made up. She's furious. She causes a riot and everyone loses their mind. Neil is here. Garrett's losing it. Neil's going, it's riot time. Magnitude throws the most ferocious pop pop we've heard.
You forgot the thing that probably for me earned Troy most of his meow meow beans, where twice he goes, et tu, Brute?
Yeah,
and he's like,
good.
And he's like, wait, did I use that right? And then again, he goes, et tu, Brute?
Very good. Very good.
I don't know why him saying et tu, Brute kills me so
very
much.
Very good. Very
so
good.
Stupid. Everyone freaks out. There's a huge riot. In the apartment, Abed is throwing away all his movies and Shirley comes to check on him.
Yeah.
Initially,
it seems like it's a recruitment exercise, but it's not at the end of the day. He tells her about how he thought the meaning of people was somewhere in here, but he looked inside Nicolas Cage and he found a secret. People are random and pointless. And Shirley says, you can't understand everything. And perhaps Nicolas Cage works in mysterious ways. He's a demon to some and an angel to others, like a Cenobite. And she's just dropping Hellraiser mythology. And like, I'm late to the Hellraiser party. I watched Hellraiser for the first time like a year ago, even though like I knew what Pinhead was and I'd heard of Cenobite, but I know nothing beyond that. And Shirley's just like going off about Hellraiser in space and stuff. This is great. This is very funny. It feels like Shirley would be like a secret horror movie junkie.
It does. I think it's true to character. And I also like the continuation of the Shirley mentors Abed storyline, because we've been here a few times before. Mm-hmm. And I think Of all of the people to try to like talk sense into Abed, or at least get him to like not be, you know, looking at this as like a fruitless endeavor.
Right.
I think it has to be Shirley, right? Troy's going to go along with everything that Abed does. Annie is going to be like, Abed, this is so silly. You know, I think Shirley really is the best person for the job in this case. And I really appreciate like a one-on-one moment with any character in Shirley,
yeah.
especially because she's being so underutilized that it felt
this
nice
was,
to
this was
see.
a very good utilization of Shirley for sure.
Yeah.
Back at the riot, slightly higher grades.
Slightly higher grades. Britta being out of data is killed me, where she says, oh wait, I'm out of data minutes. The whole world will be watching this on the first day of next month.
For me, Britta was like totally mid to the point of being like, I like almost like just like not just forgettable, but like not used in this episode.
Yeah.
And this moment elevated her a little bit for me. The whole world will be watching this on the first of next month. It was really good. Jeff tries to rally the troops. He's like, we're all in this together. The teachers here are teachers here because they suck. And so are the students. We're all on the same team.
Yeah.
I left and look at me. I came back. Anyone who leaves isn't actually going anywhere. And then they just like keep throwing food at him and yelling at him. And he's like, I'd like you all to know you're doing this together. It's teamwork.
Yeah. It doesn't work. They find out they've been eating spaghetti and meatballs for a week because the dean screwed up the spreadsheet.
Yes. Yes.
So they all boo him. They throw food at him. And then we are in the dean's office. They're eating more meatballs. And yep. Dean is explaining Excel to Jeff. And he says, I know it's unrealistic to think that we can eliminate riots completely, but I've been crunching the numbers and I believe we can reduce them by 40%.
I think at Greendale, a 40% reduction of riots is probably almost insignificant.
Yeah.
There's some constant danger at that school. So don't think that means much.
Yes.
He wants to create a real Save Greendale committee. Like this is no longer a bit. Let's actually do this. And Jeff is kind of like roped into doing it specifically once he gets the idea that Hickey should be on the team. And that's because Hickey comes in. He says, there's two things I don't do well. Apologies and drawing duck bills. I lost perspective. Students are the enemy, aren't the enemy. And I don't know, maybe my bills are a little pointy. Maybe I'm basing them on beaks. So he gave Annie an A. He corrected the grade. This was his form of an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff decides Buzz should be on the team. And so when we go and see the first meeting of the Save Greendale committee, it's a student teacher conference. It is Buzz Hickey taking Pierce's place at the table. Feels like a moment.
It is. It's a big moment. And the first thing that he does is he squirts his lunch out of a tube.
Yeah.
Because he's taste testing rations for the shelter he's digging. And Trey says, are you the coolest person ever?
Yeah.
And he just goes, I doubt it.
Yeah. Gotta say, the squeezed paste food is almost more appetizing looking than meatballs to me.
No!
I'm not so insane that I said more. I said almost. Almost.
Oh my God.
That just, I hated the.
Oh my God.
Hated the meatballs. And then the dean is watching from outside the window, kind of like single tear.
Yeah.
Sweet moment for the dean.
The song is so silly. It's like in French, and it's all about how he doesn't know how to play, how to use Excel, and how he's sad. And now his song is in French. And I don't know why it kills me every time, but for whatever reason, the fact that they put the song in French makes it so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it lends like an air of gravitas
to
the moment. Is he crying because he's not allowed in?
Yeah, he's not allowed into the meeting.
He's been blacklisted from the meeting, or was he crying with pride? I almost thought like
no,
he's proud of Jeff.
No, he's sad.
Okay.
He's sad, yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Post-credits is Troy and Abed undercover in Hickey's office. They want to surprise Jeff, but instead Hickey shows up and doesn't notice that Troy and Abed are there as a chair and a plant, respectively.
Yes.
They look incredible.
Troy's makeup on his face
is incredible.
So good.
Very, very fun. They're so excited about this. And then they hear way too much from Hickey. He wakes up every night screaming.
Yeah, life's unfair, but it's the only thing. Yeah, I'll call back. And he mods Buzz. I'm going to say this fast.
This is so good.
We can't afford to bury Dad with the rest of the family.
Yeah, I'm going to say this as fast as I can.
It's so ridiculous. And like this whole time, like Troy used to see like a single tear falling down his face.
Oh my gosh.
Very good. It's
very
funny.
Good. Streets way ahead for me. Very much a pass here. Let's get into some feedback for this episode, Jess. Long time, first time says, Math teacher Chang takes me back to season one, Senior Chang. Maybe even a tiny bit more grounded. It's refreshing after the last couple chaotic storylines, and the teacher's lounge seems like a chill hang. I agree. Teacher's lounge looks particularly fun to hang out in, Jess.
Yeah, I agree with this take as well. I like that we're, like I said, I like that we're kind of explaining how it is that Chang got away with being a...
we're stabilizing the situation.
Yeah.
Right? Stable condition. Aaron writes, Greendale's back, baby. Oh, how I cackled. This is one of my favorite episodes. Abed is in his absolute element here. I laugh so hard every time I watch it. Never stops being funny. Absolute genius. Aaron, I co-sign. This was one of my favorite communities for sure. Eric says, in the commentary, they said that they originally had the Dean subplot involve him wearing a ridiculous costume almost the entire episode. But in the end, they scaled it back and just did the Excel running joke with him. I love this decision. The Excel stuff cracks me up, especially when the endless meatball lunches turn out to be due to his Excel incompetence. There have been some great Dean costume jokes, but I think they've become too reliant on them and pushed aside other forms of Dean humor. So it's nice to see a great, simple, funny Dean plot that has nothing to do with costumes. Didn't even think about that, but it's true that Dean is like just always dressed up. Always
I like that they scaled it back. Like, they're like, we don't have to rely on the costumes for the humor for Dean, especially you're relying, give Jim Rash, like, you know, let him exercise his comedy chops a little bit besides just having on a silly outfit.
Jank writes in and it says, both Abed's Nick Cage meltdown and the riot had me cracking up, not to mention the Dean's running Excel joke. This felt like a true return to form for the show, not just after season four, but a concerted effort to find the right balance between being grounded and absurd that had tipped a little too far into the absurd in season three. Sort of like how I finished reading that piece of feedback from Jank. Yeah.
I agree with Jink. I think that like this feels like it explains a little bit more about the community, and I love it.
Yeah. Meow meow beans time. I was pretty high on everybody in this episode. Abed clear five. And he has to be in a league of his own. So I wasn't able to give anybody else a five just to sort of represent the transcendence of the Nicolas Cage moment. I gave Jeff a 4.5, 4.5 meow meow beans. For me, so far, and we've got plenty of room to go, he has been the best character of season five. I feel like they're really finding their stride with Jeff so far. It seems like where like they're using the winger speeches appropriately. He is like, he has this big main character energy right now, Jess, but it's not insufferable. I'm loving how they're treating Jeff so far, and I hope that it lasts. The suspense is so great. I hope it lasts. A bunch of fours to hand out. I don't know that Troy would have gone all the way to a full four if not for the end credits, but the end credits and his participation in that was really, really wonderful. Shirley gets the four. Her moment with Abed is really terrific, and the Cenobite thing is such a shock. Chang coming in and, she's in your class, yo! It's just really, really funny, and I like that we had this return to, like, I don't know if it's even a return to form for Chang. I feel like it was, like, really great middle ground for Chang. And I loved it. He gets a four. Dean is really good in this episode. I loved that final scene as well. Mm-hmm. Felt like actually emotional. So I loved that. Dean gets a four. And then beyond that, Britta gets a three. She was barely in the episode, but her line about the minutes I thought was pretty funny. And I'm sorry, I'm busting Annie down. I thought that her infiltration of the class was rude. Outright bad behavior. I'm giving her two meow meow beans, Jess. Sorry. Okay.
It's fine. Top to bottom, I have Jeff, Abed, and the Dean all getting fives. You know, Abed is very obvious. We don't need to go too much into it. But the Dean, the XL bit just kills me. It's so funny. It's so stupid. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. I think that Jeff deserves a five because I just feel like he's showing a lot of character growth in this episode. And I wanted to reward that.
Yes.
I just felt like he's really, I'm really enjoying him this season. I like the balance of him still being Jeff, but also trying to like actually he's going to excel at his job. Like he's enjoying it. He likes being a teacher. It's something he's actually naturally very good at. And he's trying to help. And so I felt like, you know what? You deserve the 5, Jeff. You actually deserve it this time. I gave Britta, Troy, Shirley, and Annie all 4.5. Britta, I can't with the, what I get for it. It'll be up next month when I get more data minutes. Troy for the et tu, Brute.
That's good. That's very good. Just,
it kills me. Shirley, again, the most Shirley content we've gotten in a while where it's actually worthy Shirley content. And I felt like, I don't know that I'm going to have a ton of opportunities to be giving her a lot of meow meow beans. So while I can, I want to do it.
Yep.
Cause I feel like they underutilize her a lot. And Annie, I understand you, what she did was probably wrong. I think her heart is in the right place and she's trying to get Jeff to realize that like he can succeed at this job. He can do a good job if he just puts in a little bit of effort. And it's very within Annie's character. And I also like her new outfits as well. I gave her 4.5. Chang, I gave a 3.5.
That's good for you. That's big for you with
Chang. Big for me with
Chang.
Yeah, I like wow. Oh, she's in your class, yo.
Yeah.
Like, it's a funny line. It's a very throwaway line. They're utilizing Chang, like, the perfect amount. It's nowhere near the levels of the paintball, right? Where, like, that is, like, that's the biggest Chang moment for me, I think, in the entire series.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Chang gets a 3.5 from me. So we're going to have Jeff still at the lead with 23.5, but Abed is not far behind at 22. Trailing at the end is Annie.
It's early days. It's early.
It's very early
days. It's very early. It's very tight all across the board. So I wouldn't fret yet.
No, it's, and she know what? She won a season, which is the most I can ask.
For sure. The Dean's List, this is easy. It's double buzz hickey. Yeah.
Double buzz hickey. There, I mean, honorable mentions have to go to like Garrett and Neil and
Leonard.
Magnitude.
Leonard is exceptional in this episode.
They're all very good. Professor Sin, right? There's so many good characters. Like one of my favorite things about rewatching Community is like noticing things you didn't the first time around. So like in the riot, I think it's Neil who's holding like a plank with nails in it. Garrett has an axe.
Yeah.
Like they all have different things. Yeah, I think there's so many people we could have given it to this week. So
I will try where I can to not always default to giving Mike Ehrmantraut a Dean's List point. And yet I am just a human being myself.
Well, it's also his first appearance.
Yes.
So I feel like it's very
absolutely
fair.
Absolutely.
It's an embarrassment of riches at this point with options. So
we love to see it. Yes. For the cools, for the episode rating, Jess, a full 4 cools for me. This is one of my favorite episodes of Community. I loved it, obviously, for the Nicolas Cage stuff. Clearly is just so in my strike zone. But beyond that, and beyond the fact that Jonathan Banks is showing up, I thought that there were just, like, a lot of great moments. Like, good character development, too. It was very funny. The jokes per minute were it wasn't, like, overly aggressive. It was baked in with, like, these great moments with the different characters. If you're saying it goes up from here, then There's a significant chance that this will be my favorite season of the show. It's early days, but like,
yeah,
I loved the first episode and I really loved this episode. And if you're saying we're still ramping up, then I'm very excited to see where season 5
Yeah, I will say if this is ramping up next episode, we will be en fuego.
Okay.
I think that is just the way. And for me, I gave it a 3.9. It is a hair away from a 4.
You've got more context than I do, right?
I like, do, you know, but you know what? Yeah. Josh, to your credit, a lot of listeners gave this a 4. Like, it's more me than it is this episode. I like this episode. I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I would on a rewatch. Like, for me, this is the episode where Abed is Nicolas Cage. Like, that is this episode.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more to it than that. And so I do think it earns the 3.9 for me. It is just shy of a 4. The audience gave it a 3.71, bringing us to a 3.87, very clearly in the lead so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's a high score. If it's going to get eclipsed, that's exciting.
It definitely is. I have no doubt in my mind.
Dang. Well, all right. Looking forward to seeing that. You think it's going to get beat next week?
I do think so.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, next week, I'm really excited. Next, how about that? Next week, I am very excited for the podcast. Unfortunately, we will not be able to do this one live. So no video, no live recording of the podcast due to some scheduling issues. But we have a tremendous guest joining us for Community Building next week for the really like clonkily titled Basic Intergluteal Numismatics. Did I get it?
That is correct.
Okay. And all I know from our upcoming guest about this episode is he has told me that he thinks about this one often, is what he has said.
And I will echo that statement. I think about this episode so very often.
The great Antonio in the Sky, Antonio Mazzaro, is joining us on Community Building next week to talk about season 5, episode 3, baby.
I'm so excited. This is, I will just say it right away, one of my favorite episodes of Community. That's it. Awesome. Full stop.
Very excited.
It's so fun. It's so, it's different. It is what I think, if you weren't already, like, for the first two episodes, like, yes, my community is back, this is the episode where you're just like, heck yes, we're back, baby. So I'm really, really excited.
I look forward to it. I mean, like, is community back or is the community, like, transforming? Like, for me, it almost feels like that. It almost feels
it evolves.
It's growing up. It's leveling up. And I love that. So I'm really looking forward to next week if you all love it as much as you do. And, of course, always looking forward to talking to Antonio. If you miss Antonio in your podcast feed, take a look at what happened in the post-show recaps Breaking Bad Better Call Saul podcast feed yesterday. If you are listening to this in the Community Building main feed, if you are a patron, you're getting a little bit of an early exclusive that Antonio and I recorded a really fun podcast celebrating the 15-year anniversary of the Breaking Bad pilot. If you can believe it, break up the bacon, Jess. Breaking Bad has turned 15 as of January 20th, 2023, celebrates its 15th birthday, and Antonio and I cooked up a really fun podcast to mark the occasion that I think everybody will enjoy. I'm certainly very proud of it, and I hope you all have fun with that. So we'll get Antonio on the podcast next week as well for Community. Great time to be an Antonio Mazzaro fan, as always.
Yeah, always a good time to be an Antonio Mazzaro fan.
Jess Sterling, what else do you got going on? What kind of shit is the 90s teaching you?
So over here on Pusher Recaps, still covering National Treasure Edge of History, with Marissa. Things are getting so wild. I'm hopping on to talk with her about the most recent episode very soon. And I'm like, where are we going?
Yeah.
So check that out. It's very fun podcasting with Marissa, of course. We finished up Mythic Quest, so that is in the can. Check out season 3. It was so much fun. I'm recording with Zed all about The Last of Us. We're playing through the game for the first time together. We're going to be recording our first podcast very soon. I'm really excited. I played the first little chunk of the game, and I'm like, not bad. I'm not good, but I'm not bad.
Great. This is good to hear. We love that. Great review.
So, but I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying the story. So check that out. And then, of course, outside of Pusher Recaps, you can find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We're talking Dawson's Creek. And we just released a bonus podcast talking Thelma and Louise with Sarah Carradine. I had never seen this film. And let me tell you, it is like, I mean, it's up there in terms of like top 20 movies that I've ever seen that I loved. Like, it is that good.
Well,
it is,
that's not surprising considering you've only seen 20 movies.
No, I saw two movies in the past couple of days.
Great. Cool. It's a lot. So that boosted you up from 18.
And I went to the theater for one of them. So
cool.
But Thelma and Louise is so good. Check it out if you haven't already and listen to that podcast, because I feel like we had a very like important conversation. So you can find us at Shit90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, I've seen two movies lately. Josh, what would you say if I said I wanted to watch all of Steven Spielberg's films?
I would say that's great, and you should do it.
It's a good project, right?
Yeah, I think that's
a fantastic project. I mean, I love me some Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Like, I just saw The Fablemans.
Steven Spielberg is not unlike the Nicolas Cage of directors in that he has a lot of... I mean, he has very few misses.
No one asks, is he good or bad?
No, some of his movies you do wonder, is this bad or good? Some of them are bad. But by and large, Nicolas Cage, or Steven Spielberg, rather... is one of our great cinematic treasures.
Especially when he teams up with John Williams to do the score.
Yes.
Unrivaled pairing.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity to his film slate in terms of like types of movies and such. Like, some of them will make you laugh.
Yeah.
Some of them will make you cry. Mm-hmm. So be prepared. Some of them are very serious. Some of
them
are
I've never seen Jaws.
That's a great movie. You'll like Jaws. Yeah.
So it has to be on my list. But anyway, so I saw The Fablemans recently, and I saw The Menu recently. So look at
Menu's
that.
Menu's a wild time. Menu's
I didn't know what to expect going in. And let me tell you, don't look up anything about this movie. Just watch it.
Yeah, good tip. And then when you watch it, if you want to check out my coverage of The Menu with the great Rob Cesternino over at the Rob and Josh show here on Poe Show Recaps, where every week Rob Cesternino and I are talking about a different show or movie and then talking about the latest movie and TV headlines of the week. A tremendous time here on Poe Show Recaps and with our sister network, RHAP. We talked about The Menu last week. This week, we talked about the series premiere of HBO's The Last of Us, which is officially a mega hit for HBO. We have tons of podcast coverage. Jess's aforementioned first playthrough of The Last of Us alongside the great Brooklyn Zed. We also have the recap on Sunday night with Mike Bloom and Grace Leader. Grace goes on to talk about the show from a spoiler perspective of people who have played the video games alongside the legendary Taryn Armstrong. I will be doing occasional bonus podcasts throughout the week as well, including next week. There's some behind-the-scenes chatter about who the guests are going to be for that show. And if it comes together, it's going to be a great podcast. So looking forward to that. And then in about 45 minutes from this moment in time, as I'm saying these words, I will be joining up with LaTanya Starks for the first edition of our Versus podcast for The Last of Us. We are pitting The Last of Us against Station 11, the other incredible HBO pandemic apocalypse show. So if you've got an appetite for pandemic apocalypses, first of all, congrats on getting your mental health there. No, that's amazing. Really, really good. But if you have not seen Station 11, it's a spoiler-free podcast for the Station 11 stuff, so you can safely listen to that if it's your first time watching it alongside LaTanya and I. We're really excited about that. All of those podcasts available in the Last of Us podcast feed on Post Show Recaps. If you get a chance to search Post Show Recaps, Last of Us, and you go to the feed, you can hit that subscribe button. Ratings and reviews, extraordinarily helpful right now as we are looking to get in the mix here for The Last of Us at the early going of the season. If you like Poe Show Recaps, you want to keep the lights on, but you can't join the Patreon, this is an easy way to help us out. So if you get the chance to go and subscribe to that Last of Us podcast feed, even if you're not watching the show, just to be like, hey, I'll support the podcast, click. I shouldn't say click when it comes to The Last of Us. That's a loaded term. You could do that. PostShowRecaps.com/Last of Us is the RSS link if you want to search by URL. Next week, Jess, we are back with Season 5, Episode 3 with the great Antonio Mazzaro in the sky. Until next time, everybody, Corey B, take us away. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Corey B, yeah. Yeah.
This is a show in season 5. If I could
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say
touché.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.